Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, it's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Amen.
We can thank the Lord for that. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. If you're visiting, we welcome you. I want you to feel welcome here at Deep Run. Before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements. They're listed in the bulletin. Mondays 9 to 12, Ladies Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project to support the veterans. Today at 4, Ladies Auxiliary meeting in the Sunday School building. This evening, 4. And we'll have official board meeting this evening at 5. On Tuesday, the 15th at 10, be packing food bags at Deep Run First Baptist. If you can help, let Johnny know. We'd be glad for you to be a participator in that. October the 17th at 10 a.m. Bible study. The 20th, that'll be next Sunday, won't it? Homecoming. All right. And then Sunday, October the 20th at 5 p.m., the official board meeting. November the 2nd at 5, you see stew fellowship, shrimp, stew, clam, chowder, chicken, pastry, all the beverages provided. Bring a dessert if you want to bring something. Invite a friend. And then Sunday, November the 17th at 12 o'clock, we'll have a covered dish meal to honor the pastor and his family. Everyone is invited. If you want to participate or be a sponsor in the Big Gray Memorial Cook-Off, see Joe Ellen. And if you would like to use the facility, get up with Donna. You see her number listed. Get your name on the calendar. We have any other announcements this morning? Come on. Come on. Baby.
Hold on.
I don't know what side I need to be on. You call me, you call baby over there.
Don't
call
baby.
You are baby anyway.
What do you want?
I bet, good. Look, you stand with him, not me. Okay, this is officially Pastor's Appreciation. Now, we're having our dinner a couple of weeks away, so don't worry about that. We're still all in the same thing. This is kind of like extending Christmas out. You know? Okay. And this is from on behalf of the Women's Auxiliary. And I got a card, and I love this card. The card says it better than I can. So it says, "For a pastor who makes a difference, your commitment to God's Word and to shepherding His people is a wonderful gift to our church. We hope you feel appreciated in a special way for all you do and the blessings that you are. God bless you richly." And our scripture for today is from Jeremiah, and it says, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will fill you with knowledge and understanding." That comes from Jeremiah 3, 15. My eyes aren't seeing that good. But anyway... this is a gift for you. It's a little something, in there.
All right.
And we love you. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you. So traditionally, the deacon board does for pastor, but I just look at y'all as one. So that's just it says Joe and Billy. It doesn't say just one.
She'll
hit
Billy and Joe.
I'll let y'all believe about that, all right? And I'm not going to read the card. I'm going to let you read it. But I just want to say that you're appreciated, you're loved, and we're very thankful. For me, I thank God every day we all
be
here. So thank you, Mom.
Thank you, God.
Speech,
but we thank God for you all.
Thank you very much.
Call to worship.
Oh, yeah. You're ready.
There is strength in the name of the Lord.
church, we're here to worship the name above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take your bulletin. Let us read together the responsive reading. God created the heavens and the earth.
And gave them to us, you and your joy.
And God breathed life into each of us and set us on the earth.
And God sent Jesus Christ to save us from the pole of death.
Everything that fills our souls with gladness and light is a gift from the loving Creator.
We have been entrusted with unfathomable riches.
For all this, our God is to be praised.
Let us worship God together.
Thank you, God, for bringing us here. Our loving, wonderful, merciful Father, another day to come together corporately and worship you. To lift and praise your name. We pray your spirit. We invite him to be here and to anoint us with everything from on high that we need to be the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to number 90. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. May be seated. Miss Billiard has our scriptures this morning.
I had it.
What is it, baby?
You got it.
Have I got it?
You want to do it?
No.
I don't have it.
I don't know. She's got it.
Mama said it'll be days like this.
Good morning. Our Old Testament reading is from Psalm 90, 12 through 17. It's the NIV version. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for many days as you have afflicted us. For as many years as we've seen trouble, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And the New Testament reading is from Mark 10, verses 17 through 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud, and honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." "Yes," Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up. "We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Into glorious light.
Continue to worship as we pray this morning. There are many needs as you pray this week on the listed on the back. Let's remember those. Do we have any other needs this morning?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for Marcy Powell. She's in the hospital. She's still in the hospital. I talked to her this morning and keep praying for her. Pray for my daughter Karen Page. She's undergoing radiation therapy now, and it's really starting to have an effect on her. Not feeling well, but she's got 2 more weeks of it, so please pray for her.
Okay.
And pray. And I have my back. I got a bunch of them. I got back surgery this coming Friday.
All right.
So keep me in your prayers, please. I love you all.
We love you too. Anyone else?
Larry Davis.
Larry Davis, okay.
Greg Hardy.
Greg Hardy, okay.
Richard Moore.
Richard Moore.
Fay King.
Fay King.
Pray for our country.
Okay. Any others?
Pray for our hurricane victims and
there. Yes, the hurricane victims throughout the southeast. Mm-hmm. Was there another name? Tell it.
We picked up 7 more backpack buddies this week, so now we are up to 14.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? All right, let's remember these needs and certainly remember to be thankful for the blessings. God has been mighty good to us. We want to thank him for that. So let's pray and ask Chris Grubbs he would to lead us this morning.
We're going to turn to 493 in our hymnals. Sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of Glory to His Name.
Glory to His name.
working in our people, Lord. We're just so grateful for that. Thank you for our church family, friends, Lord. You just take care of everything that we need, and we thank you. Bless these offerings now as we give them and as we use them to do your work on earth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Doxology, please. Be seated. Our scripture text today comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Years ago, I went to the doctor, and you know, you go to the doctor, you have to make an appointment. Then you go in, they carry you back in the back, and you sit back there for a while, look at everything on the walls. And eventually, the doctor came in and looked at me and said, "Son, what can I do for you?" I said, "The very best you can, you know." You know, we're needy people, and a lot of times we have needs that we depend on others to meet, right? Like when we're hungry and we go out to eat, we want to go to the very best restaurant, and we want them to do the very best for us that they can, right? That's right. And same way with the doctor. We want the very best doctor, and we want the very best result. We want the very best. And it's kind of like what happens at the beauty shop when you go in there and say, "I need the best you got, you know." I need to do the best you can. So that's kind of our thought today. Well, that is our thought today. What Jesus wants to do for you. In this passage, this is the first recorded sermon preached by Jesus that we have. And it was at a synagogue in the hometown, his hometown of Nazareth. Jesus had been ministering throughout Judea in the area of Jerusalem for about 8 months, and now he and his disciples had come to Galilee to begin doing ministry in this region. Luke says in verse 14, news about him spread through the whole countryside. Man, people were excited. They had heard about Jesus, and now he was here. And so one Sabbath, he attended the synagogue in Nazareth. And since he was a rabbi, a teacher, custom dictated that he would be invited to preach. You know, he was in the community. Let's get him in here. Let's see what Jesus got to say. And so the synagogue services weren't much different than ours. They recited creeds. They played together or prayed together. And there was a public reading of the scriptures, one reading from the law and the other one from the prophets, followed by a sermon which was expected to be an exposition of one or both passages. Specific passages were scheduled to be read on specific days, similar to our lectionary. So it just so happened that on the day that Jesus visited the synagogue in Nazareth, the reading was from Isaiah 61. And this passage refers to a prophet who's coming to Israel to do great things. And this is what Jesus read. I'm going to read 18 and 19, chapter 4. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And after Jesus read these words, he rolled the scroll up. They didn't have Bibles, they had scrolls. He rolled that scroll up, and he sat down to speak, because that was the custom then, that teachers, when they taught, they would sit down and they would teach. And Luke says in verse 21, imagine Jesus rolling that scroll up and sitting down. And Luke 21 says, "The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him." And this is how Jesus began his sermon, verse 21. "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus was saying to them, "I'm that prophet that Isaiah was speaking about. God has promised to send one to preach to the poor and to proclaim liberty and to give sight to the blind and to set free the downtrodden, and it's me." You're looking at him. The words that Isaiah wrote hundreds of years ago are specifically about me, my ministry, and what I've come to do. Now, this is an important passage of Scripture because it tells us what Jesus came to do. It tells us what he was all about. It gives us a glimpse of the vision he had when he came to earth. What was his priorities? Where were his goals? What was most important to him? He mentions five things, five ministry priorities. And there's a pretty good chance that all five of these things apply to you and to me, because all five of these things apply to everyone. These are the things that Jesus came to do. Therefore, I'm going to spend the next few minutes looking closely, more closely at these five. Yes, there's five things, because what he came to do, he came to do for you and for everyone. So let's get started. Number one, Jesus came to meet your deepest needs. Jesus begins by saying that the Lord has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. And he was talking about material poverty, to be sure, but that's not all he was talking about. He was referring to spiritual poverty as well, just as he did in Matthew 5:3 when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." In the first century, poverty was widespread and brutal. We sometimes forget that we live among the top richest people in the world. One of few places on earth, one of the few periods in history in which the average individual in America is able to have control over their financial situation. And although prosperity doesn't come easy to everyone, the fact is that in our society here, if you work hard and apply yourself, your chances of a comfortable middle-class existence are pretty good. It wasn't that way in the first century. People could work hard all their lives. They could work 6 days a week, back-breaking labor from dawn to midnight, and still have nothing to show for it after they had worked their whole lives. And for those who couldn't find work or weren't physically able to work, there was no system in place to see that they were looked after. It was survival of the fittest. And their only option was to beg. The governmental structure and the system of taxation was designed to keep the working classes poor and the helpless destitute. The poor were society's outcast, and religious leaders tended to look down on them with the attitude that they must deserve the poverty that they're in, or they wouldn't be poor. They're just mere sinners, and they deserve it. But Jesus came to preach a message that could be found in the pages of the Old Testament, but was often overlooked. His message was that the so-called unimportant people of society, the poor, the weak, the helpless, they matter to God. He wanted the poor people of Galilee, especially the poorest of the poor, to know this. It may seem that organized religion has no use for you, but to you and to God, you're precious individuals. He cares about you, and he wants to take care of you. Jesus came to proclaim the good news to the poor, but not just the materially poor. He was referring to those whose lives are empty, whose lives are destitute in any number of ways. And all of us fit in there somewhere. I've been in communities where there were people who were affluent, and in communities where people were desperately poor and had nothing. And here's what I've learned. There's lack everywhere. Even among the affluent, there's a tremendous lack in their lives. There's not a single person I know who doesn't struggle with some kind of poverty in some area of their lives. Think about your life this morning. Where do you lack? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where are you poor? Is it your finances? Is it your relationships? The ones that are supposed to bring happiness into your life, are they empty? Are they destitute? Are you living in an emotional poverty with no sense of joy or fulfillment or direction or any sense of purpose? I want you to know this morning that wherever you lack, Jesus came to meet that deepest need. No matter what the needs are in your life, if you're going through a season of lack or a season of want, financial or any other, there's two things you can count on. One, Jesus will help you endure that period of poverty, that period of lack in your life. And number two, Jesus will help you overcome whatever it is that is putting poverty into your life. Wherever you lack, he'll give you the strength to endure. He'll give you the power to overcome. That's his promise. So trust him with your deepest needs. The second thing is that we see here is that Jesus wants to set you free from whatever has a hold on you. Jesus said, He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. You know what it means to release something that's captive? Means to release it, because it's held in captivity. One translation says it this way, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Just like everyone struggles with poverty in some area of their lives, it is also true that everyone is or has been captive to something. You know what I mean? For some, it could be food or sex or drugs or gambling. And, you know, these are the easy ones to spot because they catch up with you the fastest. But there are some other things. Things that are less obvious. Things that hold many additional people captive. Some people are imprisoned by their anger. For others, it's guilt or fear. For some, it is resentment. or depression. For some, it's jealousy or ambition or revenge or pride or envy. For some, it's just plain laziness. These things grab a hold of you and they shackle your hands and your feet and your heart and your mind. And as much as you try to manage them, as much as you try to manage your rage or your lust or your bitterness, you just can't. You're its prisoner. You're held captive. You don't control it. It controls you. And Jesus was aware of this. Every person in this room has or is been captive to something. And I want you to know today that Jesus came to set you free. Don't that word sound good? Free. You know what free means?
Free.
It means free. That's right. Jesus said in John 8:36, "And the Son sets you free. You will be free indeed." Hallelujah. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the prisoners. And that includes you and me. Allow yourself to think about how good it is to be set free. Imagine it. The guilt's gone. Your past no longer haunts you. Your sins and mistakes no longer torment you or control you. Your shame no longer engulfs you. You no longer have to make excuses. You're free. You're free indeed. Your anger can't control you anymore. Even if a situation doesn't go your way, you don't have to explode. This time you can respond peacefully with wisdom and strength and leadership. You can shine the light of Jesus during these situations because, hallelujah, you've been set free. Jesus said, "I've come to proclaim liberty to the captives." Whatever it is that's got a hold on you, He's come to set you free. He wants to meet your deepest needs. He wants you to walk in freedom. The third thing we see here is that Jesus wants to give you a new outlook on life. Jesus said He's come to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. As with poverty, He's speaking literally as well, yet figuratively. During Jesus' earthly ministry, He restored the sight of many blind people. But there's another kind of blindness that the Bible talks about. Blindness to the truth. You know, Jesus stood there before people and taught them the truth, but yet they were blind to it. Even in His own community, they thought He was crazy. And blindness to the truth has a profound effect upon the way you live. Blindness to the truth, it applies to all of us today. There are times when our fear or our prejudice or our lack of faith or belief or our lack of godly vision or our sin, there are times when this prevent us from seeing God's truth, especially in difficult situations. We need to see clearly then, don't we? But many times we're blind to it. When David, a little boy, went out to the battlefield to carry some supplies to his brothers, and he saw the whole army of Israel, and there was a lot of them, shaking with fear because of one man, a giant named Goliath. And he threatened them. He threatened to kill them all. And every day they'd go out and listen to him. He'd holler at him, "Come on, just send me your best man out." And they were terrified. But when David got out there that day and he heard all this going on, he said, "Boys, y'all looking at this thing the wrong way." You know, I mean, you're exaggerating the problem. Huh? You're making a mountain out of a molehill. You're underestimating God. You're underestimating what God can do through you. You need to see this situation from God's perspective. You know what? He was right. And David took his little slingshot. I mean, they had swords and stuff, you know, and shields and all that. He took his slingshot and went out there and picked up 5 smooth stones. And he went out there, and when he shot that thing off, he hit him just right where it needed to hit him, and it knocked him down and killed him. All by itself. Maybe you've got some giants in your life. Giants that seem to be undefeatable. Ask God. God, give me the sight to see the situation from a perspective other than my own, because that's my biggest problem. I need to see it like you see it. Help me to see through the eyes of faith. Oh, Jesus came to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind. And that means you don't have to live your life as though you're feeling your way through darkness. You ever done that before? You doing like that because you don't want to run into something, you know? You can't see? Hmm? Yep. Anybody? You've done that, right? That's not fun, is it? Jesus came that we can live with a spiritual insight, with a spiritual vision, with a spiritual perspective. We don't have to be like everybody else, because we can see exactly what he wants us to do and where he wants us to go. Hallelujah. We don't have to depend on other organizations or people to tell us what direction we need to take. He gives us that insight. Jesus came so you can live a life like you know what's ahead of you. He came to help you see. The fourth thing is, Jesus wants you to feel good. Now, preacher, I like that one. That's a good one right there. Jesus wants me to feel good, you know. But the truth is, God doesn't want you to go through life feeling bad all the time. Y'all like to hang around with people like that, don't you? You ask them something, and then you get this dissertation just on how bad everything is. Everything is. I'm bad. I'm tired. And this goes on and on. And you're trying to get loose, you know? But you're held captive. Lord bless them. God don't want you to live that way. God wants you to feel good about your life. It's a life that he's given to you. He's made and created in his image, and he has given us everything that we need to live a life of godliness and holiness. And that should make us feel good. Jesus says several times throughout the scriptures, and even in today's text, Jesus said he came to set free those who are downtrodden. The King James says it this way, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You ever been bruised? Huh? Now, I'm not talking about the little black thing on your leg or your forehead or whatever. I'm talking about bruised. Somebody bruised you. Yeah? You ever done that? You ever bruised anybody? Yeah. Okay. Has life ever gotten the best of you? Does it ever seem to just beat you up mercilessly? I want you to know today that Jesus cares about your emotional bruises, the bruises that you bear. He cares about the hurts you have endured. And he has come to lift you out. Huh? David said he's pulled my feet out in the miry clay and he set me up. Huh? The book of Isaiah says, 42:3 Isaiah, he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. No matter how fragile you are, no matter how vulnerable you may feel, Jesus is ready to protect you and to lift you. Can I get a praise God on that one? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. I want you to understand this morning that if you're bruised and beaten and downtrodden, Jesus wants to release you from your oppression. He wants to build you up emotionally. He wants you to feel good. He wants you to understand the promises that He has made to you and for you. He wants you to have joy, and He wants your joy to be so full that you'll be able to rejoice in Him and to praise Him and to have peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Church, we don't live by our feelings. Because our feelings can be kind of tricky sometimes, can't they? Huh? Yeah, they can be tricky. You can't rely on them, can you? Yeah. But you don't have to go through life feeling bad all the time. You don't have to go through life feeling blue all the time. You don't have to go through life bruised and beaten. You can feel good about life. You can feel good, especially about what Jesus has come to do for you. Jesus says, I want you to be full of joy. I want you to experience abundance. I want you to know peace, and I want you to have hope. You don't have to feel oppressed. Instead, you can feel blessed because you're blessed by the best. Huh? God wants you to enjoy life, and He wants you to be emotionally strong, and He wants you to feel good. Praise His name this morning. Hallelujah. And the fifth thing is, Jesus wants you to experience God's favor. That's a pretty good one there, preacher. I like that one too. Jesus said He came to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. The New Living Translation says it this way. Jesus came, He said that the time of the Lord's favor has come. In other words, you hadn't gotten away for it. You know, in the book of Acts, it starts out, and the guys were standing around, they were looking up like that, and he said, what y'all standing around there gazing at? And there's a lot of people sitting around today. A lot of churches sitting around, they're waiting on something. But Jesus said, you ain't got to wait for it. It's here now, hallelujah. You know, a lot of that has to do with many people sees God as only an angry and vindictive type of being. Many think that God is harsh, He's not fair, and He's demanding. And many think that God thinks you are nothing but a disappointment. You know, people may think that way. I don't think God's like that. You know, for many people, God is a God who's just not fair. You know, God is not a God of unconditional love. He's a God of stern disapproval. And that's one reason why many people won't tell other people about God. Because they think He's so bad, so big and bad. God is just. But I want you to understand this view of an angry, vindictive God who's out to get us is really not the God of the Bible. It's not the God that's revealed through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God's a God of love and grace and mercy and compassion. And Jesus said you can experience His favor. I'm His favorite. Y'all ain't never said that, have you? I'm Mama's favorite. And that's why we don't judge other people. Huh? Because people are God's favorite. Right? Yeah? What if someone judged or was bad-mouthed your favorite child? Huh? I know what you women would do. Yeah. God's not mad at you. God's not out to get you, because if He was, you know what? We'd all be gone. God is not perpetually annoyed at you. And a lot of these things that people believe, they believe that because that's how they look at other people. You know, we get angry at other people. They do something we don't like. They annoy us. And somehow or another we get this view that's how God is. But we've learned his ways are not our ways. Isn't that good? But we also got to understand is our ways are not his ways. God loves us. He's not impatient with us. He wants to pour out his blessings on your life. He wants to overwhelm you with his favor. You're his favorite. When do we experience God's favor? When we turn our hearts toward him. You may have a favorite, and you may want to pour out everything you got on them. But if they turn and walk away from you, you can't do it, can you? No matter how hard you try. You ever had that happen? And many times we do God the same way. He wants us to experience his favor. Huh? But we're so busy doing our own thing. We're so busy mimicking other people and other churches and other places and all these other things in life that we refuse to receive it. Jesus didn't come to proclaim the wrath of God. He didn't come to proclaim God's condemnation. John 3:17 says that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but that through the world, through him, might be saved. Jesus came to proclaim God's favor. And I want you to know today that you can experience God's favor whenever you want, whenever you're ready. Right now, if you'd like. You just got to turn your heart to him. And you have to say, God, today I want to receive your favor. And I want to receive your blessing and your mercy. I know I don't deserve all this, but I want to accept it because it's truth, and I believe it down in my heart. Jesus' first recorded sermon tells us what he came to do for the people of this planet, what he came to do for each of us. He came to meet your deepest need, to set you free from whatever has a grip on you. To help you to see life from an angle of what is true and what is not. To heal your hearts. To restore you emotionally. But most of all, to experience God's favor. To enjoy the presence of God in your life every day. These things were the driving force of Jesus' ministry. These are his priorities. These are his gifts to you when you open up your heart to him. Church, Jesus is for us. And Jesus is the best thing today that we got going for us. Amen? And this is the greatest news that we can report to everyone we come into contact with us. And never let us forget, because everything that we do is about helping people find and follow Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word and the truth presented to us through it. We thank you for the example that Jesus has set. But most of all, for the invitation to follow in his steps. Help us to surrender to that, to repent, and to move in your direction to receive your favor and blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand together.
We're going to sing hymn number 660, I Will Serve Thee.
had this card right here where I could see it and forgot to read it. Isn't that something? But we're going to get it done. Dear church family, thank you for all the love and support you have shown for my family. Thank you for all the gifts and your continual prayers for our lady. Love, Sydney and Matt. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say before we leave?
Don't forget the food bank. Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
The rest of the announcements are listed. Okay. I will see you this evening. Everybody have a good day and enjoy the favor of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Jerry, would you lead us this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this service that you've given us this day. Father, we thank you for the love that you have to meet us where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for that, God. Father, we thank you for the Spirit that's starting to move in us, this church. I ask that each one of us just, Father, that you just help us to take your love and your word to the bottom of our hearts, that we'll make a difference. We thank you for our pastor and his wife and his good bias of faith. Please continue to lead him. Be with each one of us here this day, that this week will be safe and prosperous. We return again. We ask this in your name, Christ.
Amen.